So good afternoon, handy listeners, such as you are, and welcome to this, the first in a series of three new podcasts, completing the cycle, looking at the latest wave of captains from Steamforge. And I am joined once more on the line by lead developer, Mr. Jamie Perkins. Hello, Jamie.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, yeah, sorry, I had a slight different connection there for a second. Yes.
And I'm
cutting out all over the place, Mr. Beard. I lost you completely as well.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. It's recording at your end, right? That's the important.
It is recording at my end, so it'll come out just fine, and I'll snip all this out, he says. And also, I'm joined by game developer and the man in charge of all the words that I read, Sherwin. Good afternoon, Sherwin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Beard. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Actually, it's a complete lie. I'm full of lurgy, but, you know, never mind. I shall hold it together for the next hour or so as we discuss these three new captains. We shall begin with one that people have already seen, because that way embargo isn't breached. So, Festival. Jamie, I shall come to you first, as we see the first of these new captains for the Farmers Guild. Farmers still a relatively new guild. Is that why they've been left to this point in the cycle?
There's a sort of a very rough pattern that we've been sticking to. People probably noticed it from when we started releasing the minor guilds last year, that we started off, I think, with the Morticians and the Hunters, and I think we did a very similar thing in that they're pretty sure that Morn and Morn and Steeljaw were in the very first wave, weren't they? So we said we were going to stick to that, and the thing is, that cycle always had the farmers and the blacksmiths, although the blacksmiths got those early because of Free Cities Draft, but the farmers and the blacksmiths were always going to be at the end, towards the end of this particular pattern, because they are the newer guilds, which is
makes sense
towards the back end.
So was Festival designed alongside the Season 3 farmers? Was that already a thing, or had they sort of come along before this development process started?
No, the Season 4 farmers were designed before we'd started working.
Season 4, yes.
No, they were designed before we started working on Festival. And honestly, I'm pretty sure it's public knowledge at this point, but we actually didn't start working on the new captains until sort of after the SteamCon that released the Season 4 rules. Because effectively it was a drive home with Sherwin. It was you and Matt, wasn't it? Drive home and Matt went.
Oh, of course.
Idea.
So the infamous
meeting in a car on the drive home to Essex. We didn't start to work on Festival until after the Season 4 farms had been completely designed or developed, whichever.
Okay, interesting. And yes, that makes complete sense, given the timeline that we already know for these guys. So looking at Festival then, there's a lot of familiarity, I think, with the 2-inch melee zone, the predominantly momentous push results. Yeah, she looks like a planter, I think it's fair to say. I mean, she is a planter, but it's fair to say that, you know, she very much fits that mould. Still has the non-momentous 2 damage on 1 that we've come to expect from the planters. But these character plays are interesting. I'm very much taken by these two character plays and her legendary, but we'll come to that in a moment, I'm sure. Hair in a field, this just sort of ability to entirely redesign a scrum either in your favour or in your opponent's disadvantage. Is that very much sort of the thinking behind Hair in the Field?
For sure, absolutely. I mean, one of the main sort of themes in terms of how we designed her rules mechanics is that we really wanted to sort of go after this sort of dancing, the idea of sort of this line dancing. And so that's why there are a number of movement mechanics that are on Festival that obviously we've not seen this before really much in the farmers at all. They're quite limited in terms of how they can move around. But this was the design space we wanted to explore with Festival. So yes, in that extent, we wanted to try some kind of different movement mechanic that we hadn't tried before, and Hair in the Field is very, very different to back to any other character. It's not just straight a plus 2 movement, or it's not a single dodge for 1 model. It's literally kind of, it could be in theory your entire farmer's team if you happen to have pushed them all together that way, or a scalpel has perhaps been particularly mean to you. But
I was going to ask, in your playtesting, is this just being the anti-scalpel character play? It's really you, scalpel player such as you are, setting up and moving everyone around, and then the Festival player coming in and just undoing everything.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't specifically for that purpose, but it certainly helps there quite a lot because farmers are one of the more susceptible guilds to the sad triangle of what scalpel does.
Fair. And I suppose, yeah, it makes sense to talk about the legendary play Line Dancing at the same time. When I read this, I was really curious about it because for some reason it just took me. It just stuck in my head that this meant side of the pitch. And it was Matt Doran that pointed out to me, and he's like, no, like you, there are edges at the other end of the square as well.
Yes, there are.
And then it was just this kind of moment of, okay. So, you know, just the ability to just kind of go, my entire team first activation is 5 inches forward, if you so choose, which doesn't seem terrible, quite frankly.
So when we were talking about this, sort of the themes and behind the mechanics, we talked before about this, sort of, and it's literally called Line Dancing, this legendary play. We obviously movement when we're put onto a character, we have to try and think about the kind of tactics that we kind of want the farmer's player to use. And the thing that we're trying to get them to use here is that this idea of being able to break a scrum. One of the problems with breaking a standoff in Guild Ball is that you're often only having to send models in one at a time.
Okay.
So. Often a model can go in on its own, and if it's overextended, it hasn't got enough support, it could just be prisoned or taken out. So this thought was, what happens if you just throw an entire farmer's team at somebody's face at once? It's probably just too much health for them to deal with all in one go, and it allows them to break a standoff in a way that we haven't really seen before, which is an entire team being thrown at you at once. So they, whichever model then is going first, in inverted commas, they have the support ready-made behind them, and they're not going to get, you know, as easily prisoned and as easily isolated from the rest of their team. This is how we could link this theme of line dancing to an actual tactical implication that will that also helps play the game in a slightly different way than has been before.
Very nice, very nice. Our tools are sharp is an interesting one, because with the season 4 farmers, you know, one of the things that was very much wanted to be taken away was that things like tac buffs, lie or tooled up were being deliberately taken away from the farmers. As a part of their core mechanic, you know, they have this very, very reliable low-end damage, but we're going to sort of cap their top end.
With a
couple of noticeable exceptions in their roster. Is our tools are sharp, therefore sort of a who hurt Bryce with Brewers?
Steve,
Margaret. Sorry, it's all once again. It's, you know, blame that Margerson. You know, which one would you like to choose? Seems reasonable. And is it for that? Is it for tough hide? Is it sort of deemed that farmers were having a tough time outside of perhaps their captains into brewers and engineers and other teams with sort of great access to tough hide, or which is now every team with the new plot cards, of course. Is that what it's for?
I mean, it's kind of a column A, but there's also a kind of a column B as well, in which there's it's a bit of both. So the column A, as you say, is when you don't have any kind of damage buff in the faction, therefore they have a mild disadvantage against tough hide on occasion. So this just gives them a bit better teeth into those kind of dealing with those kind of problems. Like, I know that one of, just to pick on Bryce, Brianna Bryce's and most farmer players that I know, specifically worst fears is if brewer players realize that if they just take an entire tough hide team led by Tapper run at the farmers, they can't kill them all. You know, it's not something many brewer players do, but if they cotton onto it, it's something that's quite good against farmers. Festival gives them some kind of teeth into that kind of playstyle where they can leverage their quite consistent damage playbooks into tough five models a bit more easily. The column B though is that we still were interested in seeing what kind of damage buffs it could give to farmers, and this is a damage buff without being a damage buff, I guess. It doesn't break the rule that we set for ourselves that we didn't want to give them like a tooled up equivalent, but it gives them a way of increasing their damage against certain targets. And at the moment, the only use really for condition damage right now is to ignore tough hide. So that specifically is what it's for.
Obviously, she feels very closely aligned more to Grange than to Thresher. And this is sort of reflected quite nicely, I feel, with Lend a Hand, and that she has the opposite mechanic to Grange, if I remember rightly. So Grange helps with, what's the ability? Help him out. So that he has close out. She then has Lend a Hand. Again, is that like a deliberate attempt to mirror Grange?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're both planters as well for a start. Yep.
Both planting masters as well. So
absolutely true. It's going to make them a little bit more aligned together. Although you know. We obviously, one of the main things we ought to do is to make sure we differentiate these captains enough that there were different reasons for playing either one. So there were certain things that we needed to get close together, like they both needed to generate a similar amount of influence.
Yeah.
They both have a flat stat and they both have Planting Master, so you can't just go, well, this one just gives me more resources, so I won't take the other one. And you're dead forced to look at the other abilities and kind of you're just kind of deciding which tools you want to take for the job, really, which is, I think, is the choice we'd like you to make. And it's that, and we kind of skipped over the playbook, but there was a choice there. I've heard people describe Festival's playbook as being that of a squaddy planter's playbook. It's very different to Granger's playbook.
It's very different to Granger's, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, this was how we wanted to make a farmer's coach, basically, outside of veteran honor. Like a coach captain just literally has that squaddy level playbook, as we've seen in other coach captains, like Morn, for instance. She doesn't have a particularly exciting playbook either. Just to really make you look at the other elements of the card, as we have done. I just wanted to give a little nod to that particular choice.
No, I think it's fair. I do think she is perhaps more character play focused than playbook focused in the same way that Grange is, which is nice because they both do bring a vast amount of resources to your team. You know, notwithstanding Harvest Supper quality name, just a huge amount of healing now available in a team which already was, you know, to quote the name of the rule, fairly hale and hearty. I can't remember the last time I killed a farmer's player. and I say that as a person that plays a more takeout orientated version game of Guild Ball. So them now all having access to essentially cropping, isn't it? This is essentially Tater's rule from season 3, but now everyone has it.
Yeah, it's actually better than cropping because cropping was a three.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
this is the 4. So yeah, it's cropping. It's cropping, but better that everyone has access to. So they can all heal effectively. What 12 hit
up
points
to 12
per turn, 14,
turn? Yeah,
take Harrow.
Oh, 14 with Harrow. Yes, I suppose so.
So yeah, this is a team that's because again it was wanting to this idea of throwing a whole team at you at once. We also had to give them an element of resilience, and we didn't want to just give them
sure.
You know, again, wanted to give you different parallels to what Grange does. This is a team that is tough because you have to burst. You have to burst damage them down one at a time, and if you don't, then they're just gonna. If you try to chip damage them, they're just gonna heal back up again and be happy about it.
Yeah, not a matchup for Smoke, I feel.
Probably not. But at the same time, you know, they've got Midas for the farmers. They're perfectly happy playing that, I think, most of the time. But yes.
The salt appears to have evaporated overnight. Can't imagine why.
Indeed.
Where do you see her sitting within sort of the farmers' meta? Obviously, Thresher, very much a dominant force. In your own office with Bryce and Dom, and also pretty much within the community as a whole. Looking at her, one thing I quite like is she seems to disrupt the binary choice of Thresher for kicking, Grange for receiving, and she can sort of do her game plan reasonably well regardless of the two. Is that something that you take into account when designing the models?
It is a bit. I mean, it's not. I wouldn't say it's a deciding factor, but it's definitely something that we consider. That we try and the kind of choices you're going to make, particularly with captains. And as you say, there were some deliberate choices made here to try and, you know, disrupt wherever we see it. Wherever we see the players have settled on this is the objectively correct choice to make.
Yes.
We're always around and muddy the waters a bit where we can.
Nice.
And we're not necessarily successful, but it's always an aim to try to create, you know, disagreement. If I'm honest, not necessarily that argument, but you know, everyone likes intelligent discussion or even just different ways to play the game. So if people are going, well, this is one farmer's player that's winning with a strategy. This is a different farmer's player that is winning an equal amount but has a different strategy. And the differences between those play styles is interesting.
Yes.
So we all create those situations where possible. So I guess that on a sort of macro level, but it is there in the background all the time when we're making the smaller level, the sort of micro decisions. So, yeah, I do think that you're right in one of your earlier points. People are probably more likely to play Thresher and then either Grange or Festival, but it's entirely possible to play both Festival and Grange if you like. And I think that your choice of which farmers captains you're taking now is going to very much depend on what you tend to regularly face and what you have problems against. If you do have problems against somebody playing you know, standoffish brewers, for instance, is probably a prime target for Festival to want to play, because she has the tools to fight brewers with, and she has the tools to fight standoff with. You know, if you're fighting, or if you're facing more sort of goal scoring heavy fisherman teams or alchemists, then you probably want to, you're going to be, you know, taking Thresher a lot into those matchups, because he just has the better tools for playing against the high pressure goal scoring teams. And if you're playing against sorts of, like, perhaps say butchers quite a bit, and the butcher, and you're getting to receive the ball with the ball, then your Granger's a great choice there. So it's, I guess it's going to depend on what, one, you're struggling with as a farmer's player, and two, what you play against more often in your...
That's nice. Game. And I guess that to a certain extent, that is the intention for having three captains, is to be able to tailor what you take depending on the meta that you're facing.
Yes, and your choices and your play styles and preferences as a player, honestly, you know, insert personal preference meme from Perkins, but, you know, people can find different parts of the game a bit more difficult than others. And that will colour the choices that you want to take, and that's cool. That's also a type of valid personal preference choice, is to go, well, I understand this is a playstyle, but I'm not very good at it, or I don't enjoy it, so I want to play differently, and therefore the choices we provide you with should hopefully facilitate you playing the game in a way that you want to play it.
Makes sense. Now, quick question on her legendary, if you don't mind. Like I said, I've already spectacularly misinterpreted this once in my reading of it, thinking it was only the edges. But also, I'm curious with regards to the directly towards the chosen edge. Is that a center point on there, or is that each model itself can choose a different point on the edge? Do they all have to sort of move perpendicular to each other? How's that intended to work?
Yeah, so this is one that is... Perhaps we should have chosen the phrasing slightly more carefully, I think, here. Because the definition of directly towards in the game is obviously towards the center of an object. So your direct line towards an edge of the pitch could be argued to say the center of the edge of a pitch.
Yes.
And that's not intended here. This is intended to basically be your shortest route towards the edge of the pitch you've chosen, which would mean that you go in... There's literally one of four straight line directions, and that's it. So you're taking the shortest route towards the right-hand side. You will go 90 degrees to the right, regardless of how up or how far up or down the pitch that you are. So it's not to the center.
Gotcha.
Is your shortest route, which is your closest point to the edge.
Gotcha. So it's not like I can send one model towards the top left-hand corner of the pitch, one model towards the top right-hand corner of the pitch. They're all going in a sort of perpendicular, straight line, directly towards the chosen edge.
Correct.
I still think that has tremendous use. I mean, one of the teams we've not really mentioned here for a matchup for Festival, I think is appropriate, especially with this legendary, is miners. That ability to just reposition your entire team, perhaps into places where they want to secret tunnel too. And of course, there's another team with a quite high proliferation of tough hide.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And also, just as I say, it's for any team that is quick, or for any team that is going to try to disengage with you quite well, or doesn't really want to engage with you at all and is playing quite standoffish, like, this legendary is going to be incredibly useful for you.
Yep. Also, I think my maths is correct that you can slingshot Windle 22 inches, which is hilarious.
That's without having done the math, probably. That sounds about right.
Weird, but you need two legendaries and Millstone in Veteran Arena Festival and Millstone to throw the big man forward. But I reckon it'll be funny.
Yeah, and imagine if you have the ball as well. You know, you can go in a huge amount of distance. Yeah.
The striker Windle, of course. You know, no one's going to see that coming. turning to you then, Sherwin, please tell me everything. I love this model. Please congratulate your sculpting team. I absolutely adore this model. I can't wait to get my hands on it. But first of all, where does she... where does she come from? I know where she comes from. That's one bit of information that's on the card. But where does she come from in a less geographical sense,
sure.
Sherwin?
So the farmers we all know from what we've seen previously in season 3, and then a little bit in season 4 and some of the other stuff as well that we've done, is they're very much a devout Sulthesian kind of organization guild. We already have, obviously, the Sulthesian order has invested hugely in them to kind of promote their guild ball team and get them up to where they need to be. Now, what we've seen in terms of sort of the day-to-day farmer activity is much like we see in sort of... and I say this from very much a sort of British perspective, but we have lots of little sort of pagan rituals and lots of different bits and pieces which kind of haven't really been dented by sort of organized religion. They've been around since the dawn of time. I'm thinking people like Morris Men, that sort of stuff.
Sure.
And these sort of things still exist within sort of farmer society. They're still very rural. They're still very, very much sort of based in those areas. And they'll still have little harvest festivals, or they'll have kind of small rituals that they might do around certain times of the year, that sort of stuff. And festival really represents a sort of priestess who would follow these ways. So someone who very much is remarkably different from the more traditional, more sort of stale and much more kind of stoic kind of Solthusian order priest. So there is a short story I wrote for a festival a little while back. I'm not sure if we've put it out yet. I don't think so. Where we had Lucky, who interacted with her and said, well, she's nothing like all the priests I've met before. When she comes down, there's singing, there's dancing, everyone cracks open a keg and starts drinking, everyone's really happy to see them. By comparison to the local priests, where as soon as they turn up, everyone suddenly stops drinking, looks down at their feet and doesn't do anything. And it's very much this idea that when festival turns up, she sort of travels, wanders from sort of place to place, town to town, and kind of, you know, really comes to visit. And whenever she does land, there's this kind of, you know, again, this raw kind of euphoria that sort of reaches everywhere. It's basically just this, exactly what you'd imagine. It's just this really positive energy, this kind of really, everyone's pleased to see her kind of thing. That's really what we're seeing from festival as a character. That's really where she is. Now, in terms of how her route into Guild Ball and what sort of statement the Guild are making by appointing a figure like this to lead their team, no less, not even just be part of the team, but actually lead it, is a very interesting one. We can discuss and we can think about ideas of, does this mean that the influence of the Solthusian Church is kind of starting to ebb and wane with the Guild? Now they've reached the upper echelons of kind of, you know, of Guild organizations, and now they've kind of reached up through, you know, their world champions and so on. Is this a case where, well, actually, we don't care about all these people who've given us all this money now? You know, we've got our own interests here. We have more autonomy. Is this perhaps the sort of source where the Solthusian Order have lost interest in them? It's worth pointing out when the Backers appointed, or sort of really made his big drive towards Guild Ball as a sort of drive for popularity with the Guild, he kind of hedged his bets and went, well, let's promote the Farmers Guild with lots and lots of injection of cash, but at the same time, we'll start the Supreme Order of Solthusius as well, see where that gets to. And the Supreme Order, of course, have come on leaps and bounds, are hugely popular, have gained a whole bunch of supporters, so it may well be that the Solthusian Order doesn't actually need the Farmers as much, and they've sort of, you know, taken their finger off the pulse for a bit, and that's given the Farmers more autonomy to do something else.
Is there a degree of connection then from sort of... Festival is a priestess. She's not... It's not...
Yeah, absolutely. She's a priestess of sorts, yes.
So is there sort of a more... we know from sort of conversations that we've had in the past that there's a connection between the druidic faith of the Sunfather and the Hunters Guild to the Solthusian faith. Is Festival sort of more of a leaning towards that end of the spectrum, or is she
absolutely
entirely different?
So she'd definitely fall into the sort of the gods that she would follow, and I'd say that in a very loose term. I think much like she would be far less devout than someone like Hemlock, for example, who follows the old gods. It's very much about sort of sacrifices and blood rituals and various other things. I would look at Festival as more of a character who is aware of the practices, doesn't obviously ever sort of break any scripture or sort of step outside of that, but is really kind of this bearer of tradition, of this sort of heritage of tradition. And think of it that way, I think, is probably the best way of going for this. So, but it's definitely based more on pagan gods, the old gods that we've sort of seen dotted throughout the various different Guild Ball literature that we put out so far.
Is there how... With some guilds, when we've seen the third captain come in, we've seen that as the stepping away of someone else. Now, naturally, with Thresher, he's dead. But so is this a sort of a dual role with Grange? Or what's happened within the guild as Festival's been introduced?
I think this is more like a dual role with Grange. As Guild Ball itself has changed quite dramatically as a sport, we started to see more of the guilds have kind of really picked up this idea that, you know, we're not some minor guild where they've only got one captain. Sometimes we need to have, you know, different captains march onto the pitch for different reasons, lead us. And they've really sort of started to adapt and kind of evolve as they are. Yeah, the armband can get for whoever.
Excellent. Now, so my last real question on the story behind Festival, and I appreciate this is one that you may not be able to answer, but we know that Veteran Honor is moving alongside Into the Shepherd's Guild when they come out in sort of, you know, later on in 2020. Is that also a reflection of the arrival of Festival as a coach? And so in much the same way that the church is stepping away from the Farmers Guild, potentially, is Veteran Honor also stepping away onto her next challenge of working with their minor guild?
Maybe. There's an interesting idea there. If I hit this about right, then I'll manage to give you this idea when I say I hadn't even vaguely considered that beard. That could be a thing.
Oh, nice. There we go. Perfect. Perfect.
Well, I mean, it's good that you believe me as well. It's really good. So there we are. So
I've had my share of TBDs over the years, Sherman.
So in all honesty, yeah, that could be one way of reading it. And that's, you. If I'm entirely truthful, you wouldn't be far wrong.
Oh, excellent. Nice to know. Nice to know. Perfect. Gentlemen, thank you very much for the first of these three quick podcasts going over these new captains. Really looking forward to seeing Festival on the pitch. I absolutely adore this model and can't wait to paint her. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. I'm also curious to see how she'll play on the pitch. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And we shall speak to you very shortly again. And as ever, handy listeners, such as you are, I need a better outro.
It's just so...